Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 52 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm your host, Keneally Roberts.
And I'm Daria Denisenko.
Each of the partners helped us get the word out, and that's how we've been able to reach so many people.
Appalachia Rises announced the opening of applications for flood relief grants for local businesses.
The Kentucky General Assembly approved legislation to set limits and guidelines for the use of no-knock warrants.
U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the passage of a bill dealing with U.S. Senate vacancies does not mean he's leaving his post.
A woman is accusing the Fleming County Hospital of tampering with her medical records.
Kentucky's opening of COVID-19 vaccines to ages 16 and older have parents wondering if they should vaccinate their children.
In sports, Moorhead State Volleyball received OVC honors today.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers mainly after 7 p.m. today, otherwise cloudy with a low around 30 degrees. We'll have an extended weather forecast after this news.
Appalachia Rises, which launched after historic flooding in early March, announced the opening of applications for flood relief grants for local businesses, small farms, and nonprofits this morning. The opening of the grant application program for these organizations follows $250,000 in emergency grants being given to 500 families in need as they rebuild. AppHarvest Director of Community Initiatives Amy Samples says more than half a dozen organizations came together in the days following the flooding to launch the Appalachia Rises initiative, including the Foundation for Appalachian Kentucky, Appalachian Impact Fund, Appalachians for Appalachia, Bluegrass Community Foundations, WKYT, WYMT, and New Frontier Outfitters.
Each of the partners, including the Appalachia Rises webpage and the WKYT and WYMT, have helped us get the word out about, in addition to the community foundations and our partners helping administer some of the grant review processes, helped get the word out, and that's how we've been able to reach so many people.
Eligible local businesses and small farms may apply for grants of $1,500 to $5,000 at appalachiarises.org.
Work has started on the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's $6 million Carroll Malone Boulevard widening project through downtown Grayson. Construction is expected to last through the summer of 2022. Highway District 9 spokesman Alan Blair says workers are now setting up the temporary traffic pattern that will last during the first phase of construction, applying a thin layer of asphalt and striping to guide motorists. While traffic delays will be common during construction, Blair says once completed, the improvements will alleviate much of the congestion motorists now experience, especially at the intersection of the U.S. and Carroll Malone Boulevard.
So at U.S. 60, you're going to end up having a dedicated right turn lane toward the courthouse, a dedicated left turn lane toward U.S. 60 East toward Pritchard, and two through lanes. So that should really move a lot more traffic, a lot quicker.
During construction, traffic will be reduced to one lane each direction throughout the 1.5-mile work zone from Academic Parkway to the Little Sandy Bridge. There will be a center turn lane and a left turn lane at U.S. 60.
On its final day in session, the Kentucky General Assembly approved legislation to set limits and guidelines for the use of no-knock warrants. Kentucky Senate Bill 4 will still allow the use of no-knock warrants, which don't require officers to announce themselves before entering a targeted location, but will limit their use to instances where someone is in immediate danger or in cases involving violent crimes or terrorism. The measure also specifies it would be perjury if an officer made a false statement in an application for a no-knock warrant. Louisville police used a search warrant that had a no-knock clause when they went into Breonna Taylor's apartment in March of 2020 and shot and killed the 26-year-old black woman.
Kentucky lawmakers voted Tuesday to shield businesses and healthcare facilities from coronavirus-related lawsuits as they hurried to finish work before ending this year's session. After spending weeks in limbo, the bill resurfaced Tuesday and easily passed both chambers to advance to Democratic Governor Andy Beshear's desk, where he could decide to veto the measure. The COVID-related bill aims to offer pandemic-related protections without creating blanket immunity from civil liability, the Daily Independent reports. The protections wouldn't apply if businesses engage in practices deemed as grossly negligent or as willful or intentional misconduct, according to its sponsors. The bill's critics portrayed the liability shield as an overreach interfering with constitutional protections on access to the courts and to seek personal injury awards.
In contrast to states weighing new voter restrictions, Kentucky lawmakers have passed language that includes some expansion of voting access, but the bill doesn't keep 2020's relaxed absentee ballot rules. Included in the bill are 3 days of early voting, a mechanism to allow some ballot mistakes to be fixed, ballot drop boxes, and countywide voting centers open to all precincts. They're all features that should be familiar after the 2020 presidential election, courtesy of a temporary voting plan crafted by Governor Andy Beshear and Secretary of State Michael Adams amid the pandemic. Adams says he's not worried by provisions that remove those emergency powers.
I'm not offended that they repealed those emergency powers. I never asked for permanent emergency powers. This was a one-time situation. If they had sunsetted this in the legislation last year, then that would have been appropriate. So I'm not concerned that they've done that.
Should a similar emergency occur, it would be up to the legislature to set election rules. The temporary provision that received the most attention last year, allowing absentee voting for anyone who cited COVID-19 as a reason not to vote in person, is not part of the new election bill. It also bars ballot collecting, allowing a third party to gather ballots from voters and submit them to polling locations.
Kentucky lawmakers have advanced a spending plan that would provide more funding to full-day kindergarten. The Senate Budget Committee sent the proposal to the Senate on the final day of this year's legislative session. The proposal includes $140 million in state funds for full-day kindergarten. Kentucky school districts now get state funding for half-day kindergarten, with districts using local taxpayer money to pay for full-day services. The spending plan also includes $575 million in federal pandemic aid to repay a federal loan that kept the state's unemployment insurance program afloat.
Kentucky voters will decide whether to amend the Commonwealth's Constitution in November 2022 to declare that women have no right to an abortion. WMKY's Carrie Stambo has more.
The Kentucky General Assembly has passed a proposed constitutional amendment to declare there is no right to an abortion in Kentucky. Abortion is still legal in the United States and in Kentucky. Critics say the proposed constitutional amendment is an attempt to pave the way for banning abortion in the Bluegrass State if Roe v. Wade, the landmark court ruling that legalized abortion nationwide, ever gets overturned. The proposed amendment, which voters can decide on in November 2022, does not include any exceptions for abortions in cases where a pregnant woman's health is in danger or the pregnancy resulted from sexual assault. Unlike most legislation, Governor Andy Beshear cannot veto this bill because it involves a constitutional amendment. For WMKY News, I'm Carrie Stambo reporting.
The U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the passage of a bill leading with U.S. Senate vacancies in Kentucky is not a sign he plans on exiting the post. The Kentucky General Assembly this week cemented a bill that would have the effect of ensuring any temporary occupant of a vacant U.S. Senate seat be filled with a member of the party of the outgoing senator. The bill led to immediate speculation that McConnell, now 79 and serving a seventh term, might be paving the way for an exit from office. But the Senate Minority Leader says he isn't going anywhere.
I don't think we're going to have a vacancy. I'm not going anywhere. I just got elected to a six-year term. And I'm still the leader of my party in the Senate, so this is a hypothetical. But I had watched this over the years in the Senate as various vacancies were filled, and I thought this was the best way to go, and I recommended it to President Shivers, and I'm glad they did it.
Democratic Governor Andy Beshear has vetoed the bill, but the GOP-led legislature overrode that action. McConnell argued the measure is about honoring the previous election and making sure a permanent successor to any departing Kentucky U.S. senator is elected by the people as soon as possible. Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. On Thursday, it's partly sunny with a high near 39. On Thursday night, it's partly cloudy with a low around 22. On Friday, it's sunny with a high near 46. On Friday night, it's clear with a low around 26 degrees. On Saturday, it's sunny with a high near 60. On Saturday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 38. On Sunday, it's sunny with a high near 66 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the state of Kentucky boasts more miles of running water than every other state in the country, except for Alaska. The abundance of rivers, lakes, and streams has long made the state a great place for paddle sports, including canoeing and kayaking. WMKY's Carrie Stambo has more.
Nathan Deppenbrock and his wife Allison co-own and operate Canoe Kentucky, an outfitter located on the banks of Elkhorn Creek. Deppenbrock explains, 2021 is a special year for the business.
This year is our 40th year in business. We are a third-generation family business. My wife and myself are the second-generation owners of the business. Her father-in-law started Canoe Kentucky back in 1981.
He says the business is gearing up for a busy season after a year like no other in 2020.
Yeah, last year was absolutely incredible, and it was just absolutely insane busy, and pretty much every outfitter that rents canoes and kayaks, definitely in Kentucky, but for sure in the eastern U.S. even, would tell you the same thing.
Deppenbrock says there were changes that had to be made, but paddling is really a sport made for a pandemic.
You know, the canoe and the kayak is the perfect way to social distance. In a canoe, you're already automatically 8 feet apart from each other.
He predicts that 2021 will be a repeat of last year, even as restrictions begin to lift and case numbers fall due to widespread vaccination.
I think it's going to happen again. Retail sales last year were way, way up, and everybody will tell you that, from small mom-and-pop shops to big box stores. And so there's a lot of people out there who have purchased canoes and kayaks, and I think the demand for the rental side is going to be just as high as it was last year. I think we still have people that are doing a lot of work remotely, and I still feel the demand is going to be there. I think people are cooped up, and they're ready to get out.
Deppenbrock says his store is fully stocked with watercrafts for buyers who can come and try them out there first. Canoe Kentucky offers guided trips on both the Elkhorn Creek and the Kentucky River in downtown Frankfort. New in 2021 is the opportunity to make an overnight trip.
For the first time, we are offering camping and glamping on the Elkhorn Creek. So we have built three luxury glamping tent platforms. They each have a Montana canvas tent on them, so people can come and rent those for upwards of a family or group of four. And you can paddle down to your campsite on the creek and stay the night right there.
The Kentucky River offers a completely different experience, according to Deppenbrock.
The Kentucky River is a great place for people that don't have any experience, are brand new to paddle sports, want to bring their kids out for the first time. It's completely flat water. You can paddle both directions, and you wouldn't even know which way you're going. It's a great place to come with your friends, put in a canoe or a kayak, and paddle down to a restaurant, grab yourself a burger and a beer, and then continue on along the way. And it's just kind of a newer, unique, historic way to see central Kentucky as well.
He encourages all paddlers to follow some basic guidelines to ensure a safe season on the water.
Know the water levels. Don't trespass. And wear your life jacket at all times. And if you kind of follow those three things, we definitely encourage you to get out and enjoy paddling. It's one of the best things you can do here in the Bluegrass State.
Visit CanoeKY.com to learn more or follow Canoe Kentucky on Facebook. For WMKY News, I'm Carrie Stambo reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Curbside delivery at 780-4282, Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
It's 52 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Keneally Roberts, here with Daria Denisenko and Sarah Mead, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Leanne Akers has a look at sports coming up, but first, I just want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this dreary Wednesday evening.
The Volleyball Eagles got conference honors today. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Moorhead State volleyball team was awarded several Ohio Valley Conference honors today ahead of tomorrow's tournament. Head coach Jamie Gordon was named OVC Coach of the Year. Bridget Bessler was named to the first team. This is her second straight All-OVC first team nod. Olivia Loheimer was named OVC Player of the Year for the second time. The team is still pumped for Monday's win over Jacksonville State, which allowed MSU to host this week's OVC tournament. Associate head coach Kristen Becker says her team did a great job taking lessons from their Saturday loss into Monday's regular season closer.
Another piece that we've talked about all season with the team is they've put a lot of work in getting into really good shape in the weight room and their conditioning, and they were fresh on day two, and I think that was a big advantage for us.
The Eagles were scheduled to face off with SIU Edwardsville in the first round of the tournament tomorrow. However, conference officials said just this afternoon that SIU Tier 1 personnel have tested positive for COVID-19. That team's elimination means Moorhead will automatically advance to the championship game to be played Friday at 6 p.m. Moorhead State softball is back on the field tonight with a return to head coach Samantha Jones's old stomping grounds at the University of Kentucky before hitting the road to Nashville for a series against conference rival Tennessee State. The Eagles face a tough test in Jones's alma mater as the Wildcats are coming off a series victory over number 3 Alabama, highlighted by a 5-4 walk-off win on Monday. Coach Jones says her team will continue to focus on their own game.
Sticking to just our strengths and building self-confidence, working on things that we need to improve on, preparing for maybe the various pitchers that they have. Sometimes it'll be a drop ball, sometimes it'll be an up-spin pitch. So definitely just kind of preparing from an offensive standpoint and then some defense, just making sure that we're able to back our pitchers.
The contest at John Kropp Stadium will air live at 7 p.m. on the SEC Network, ESPN3, and the Watch ESPN app. The Rowan County Senior High School softball team got their regular season started yesterday, and they aren't getting any downtime before their next matchup. The Vikings will host Montgomery County this evening after falling to Greenup County yesterday 8-4. Head coach Larry Sloan says his team is still working to get their footing, especially since several of his players are fresh off the basketball season.
We just now got our basketball players back. One of them still hurt. Destiny Utter back, sprained an ankle in the regional tournament. Haven Ford, she was there yesterday. Kendall McDaniel and Candace Chandler play basketball, so we got them yesterday, so we haven't been able to do an awful lot. We don't know exactly where we're at with those kids.
First pitch against Montgomery County this evening is set for 6 p.m. The Rowan County Senior High School baseball team has one day left before the start of regular season play. Menifee County is up first on the team's radar as they work to get back into the swing of things. Fortunately, though, head coach Scott Collins says there are some guys returning to the team this year with some experience.
Got Aiden Lewenberger, Nathan Goodpasture, Jacob Boggs, Mason Moore, and Bradley Gardner are seniors this year. So a lot of those guys have had, you know, past experience in 19, and most of them did play, you know, summer ball this past year when we weren't able to have a season. So some of them were able to get in some work this summer, so that bodes well for us.
First pitch in Menifee County tomorrow evening is set for 5:30 p.m. The Moorhead State University football team is getting ready for their next road matchup this weekend. The Eagles are heading to Indianapolis to face Butler on Saturday. MSU is coming off a heartbreaker loss to Davidson last week, where the Eagles led the game until the final 3 minutes. Head coach Rob Tenier says the team has been making some adjustments on special teams during practice this week.
We missed 2 field goals in the game, and then we also had a punt that we shanked in the game and gave them good field position, and Davidson ended up scoring on that possession. So just, you know, a game of missed opportunities, gave up a lot of hidden yardage in our special teams, and we got to work at continuing to getting better in those areas.
Kickoff in Indianapolis Saturday is set for 3 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company.
It's Easter time at Ruth Hunt's with Easter baskets filled with special treats like Kentucky Proud solid chocolate rabbits, jelly beans, and flavor-filled eggs, sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky Proud and is celebrating 100 years in 2021. Ruth Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at ruthhuntcandy.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose today, led by technology shares, as investors weighed the potential impact from President Joe Biden's infrastructure spending plan. And the Dow Industrials actually did finish with a loss of 83.83 at 32,983.13. The broader market, though, was stronger, with the S&P 500 up 14.48 at 3973.02. And the S&P 500 actually hit a fresh intraday record high. The NASDAQ Composite was up 201.48 at 13,246.87 as your tech sector had put in a good showing today. The NASDAQ, of course, up 2% as the jump in bond yields eased. Apple, Netflix, and Facebook all gained at least 2%, while Tesla popped 5%. And, of course, the president will unveil a package today of more than $2 trillion in infrastructure spending. The plan would raise the corporate tax rate to 28% to fund the package, and the White House said the tax hike, combined with measures designed to stop offshoring of profits, would fund the infrastructure plan within 15 years. Now, of course, today marks the end of the first quarter, and for the quarter, the blue chip Dow was up 8% and the S&P 500 was up 6.2%, both indices on track for their fourth positive quarter in a row. The NASDAQ has been the relative underperformer this year, as tech stocks, who are especially sensitive to rising rates, have been pressured as interest rates on the 10-year Treasury have soared this quarter. And for the month of March, the tech-heavy NASDAQ was up less than 1%. But for the quarter, it has gained 3%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2%, finishing at $59.35 a barrel, while gold was up 1.3% at $1,708.50 an ounce. And turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up 5 cents at $96.42, AEP down 3 cents at $84.70, Fifth Third Bank down 67 cents at $37.45, Marathon Petroleum down 11 cents at $53.49, App Harvest up 37 cents at $18.30, and Humana was down 6.46, finishing at $4.19 and a quarter. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. On Thursday, it's partly sunny with a high near 39. On Thursday night, it's partly cloudy with a low around 22. On Friday, it's sunny with a high near 46. On Friday night, it's clear with a low around 26. On Saturday, it's sunny with a high near 60. And on Saturday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 38 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Rachel Turner, Jonathan Burton, Lakin Hupp, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Carrie Stambo. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Daria Denisenko and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Keneally Roberts for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.